This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's the best basketball party anywhere.
Is it better to be a 72nd best alumni from a great school or the number one alumni by far from a small school?
I'll go with the big school one.
Live from the Stadium Sports Bar at Alena Sportsbook, George McCoy and Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents a Fan Madness edition of Danny and Dusty. Hurt and missing work? Insurance companies acting like jerks? Don't call your mom. Call George McCoy at warrenallen.com. Alena, make every buzzer beater, bracket buster, and Cinderella run mean more at Alena Sportsbook. Fan Madness is also brought to you by Video Only, where you always get the best deals on top-rated brands of TVs and home theater, and by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Enjoy responsibly. Fan Madness from Alena on 1080. The Fan.
We're at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill, Alena Casino and Resort. It is indeed college basketball witching hour. Dusty out, Will Ordner and Jeff Russ back in the studio on the ones and twos. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful, wonderful Friday afternoon. A Yacht Rock basketball Friday,
Can
I guess
you
it
have
were.
Yacht Rock and basketball?
I mean, yes. Jeff Russ will try to make
yes.
it happen.
Yes.
Jeff Russ will try to make it happen.
Yacht Rock is for everybody.
You're right. It's for the people.
A very solid day yesterday. We had some late games that got super interesting. We'll get to McNeese State Clemson, which wrapped up as we were wrapping up yesterday. Michigan is able to stave off elimination early on. It's a solid first day. Not the best first day we've ever had in the tournament, but it was solid.
It was like a medium first day.
Yeah.
It was like going to slightly better fast food than what you normally would. It wasn't McDonald's where everything is trash and garbage and all the top seeds
wow.
win. But
Donald's
it's probably
strays.
A little bit more like a Five Guys burgers and fries. Like, you're pretty excited. Like, it's all right. It's okay. You're not, like, clamoring for it, but when you get it, you're happy. You're satisfied. I'll tell you what. I think I realized that maybe I care too much about my bets on the drive home when I had to. It's possible that maybe I had the game on in the car while I was driving home. I wasn't watching it, but I was definitely listening to it.
Intently.
And look, I might have hit a speed that probably I shouldn't have hit according to the speed limit when Clemson hit that nothing two-pointer at the very end so I could get my over. It was look, I'm trying to care a little less.
Just put it directly into your veins. And we'll get into some lines. I'm not going to toot my horn. I'm going to toot the living hell out of it.
You
I was 11 of 13 yesterday.
That's unbelievable.
We had a nice little heater to close the night. Screw you, freaking Texas, UNC Wilmington. Went on that little run. My first half under almost hit. I think there was, what was it, 68.5, and they ended up getting 72 because they went on that, what, 8-0 run.
12-0, I think. Because there was a point in that game where Texas Tech was covering. I'm over here already counting my money because there's no way. UNC Wilmington, who are you?
Yeah.
I've never heard of you. You have a fake mascot name, Seahawks. That's not even real. And then you find a way to go on a 12-0 run. Since when has, like, a 14 seed ever gone on a 12-0 run? It never happens.
No, it never happens. You know what else never happens? Somebody seemingly rolls their ankle to the point of what looked like him breaking his leg and then bounces back less than 2 weeks later. Cooper Flagg is out on the floor for the Duke Blue Devils, who are tipping off here in approximately 5 minutes. And it does indeed look like he is going to go.
Good
for
him, man.
Which is insane.
Well, but some of that, too, is just like young legs. When you're that young, yeah, you roll your ankle. It hurts a lot, but, hey, you get a little num-num juice, and then you're ready to go.
Look, I was talking to Jeff Sacramento over here earlier, and I told him last night the thought that I had is, like, you know what? I did remember Cooper Flagg turned 18 in December. Maybe he still has the high school, like, Gumby legs that aren't fully formed.
I love Duke.
I'll tell you right now, as someone who substitute teaches a lot at elementary schools, there are some falls that, like, kindergartners and first graders have.
And you're like, oh, God, like, they're dead.
Dude, I could have swore the other day this poor kid, he tripped and fell. I thought he tore both his ACLs. Mm-hmm. I was sure his labrum was shot. He landed face first. He rolled up, somersault, popped up, and was like, that was sweet. Let's do it again, Mr. Ortner. No, let's not do it again. That's kind of what Cooper Flagg is. He's the kindergartner, first grader of college basketball.
Which it would make a little bit of sense because he is, the second youngest player in the country. Only Jeremiah Fears, who's the point guard at Oklahoma, who reclassed late before going to Oklahoma and been doing quite well there. We'll see them later this afternoon.
They're one of the mid.
It's UConn.
Yeah, they're like the you get the weird hour lull where, like, the very last game of the first session ends and then the next session
starts. Yeah, we get Akron, Arizona, and then you get a little gap, and then they open. Yeah. Up the night for us. Oklahoma, UConn, Xavier, Illinois, Bryant, Michigan State. And then we're already starting to get the Duck fans trickling in. They tip off at 7:10. As a reminder, we will go to Ducks pregame. We will preempt a prime time at 6:40.
It's like one segment, I believe. Yeah. You're only going to miss out on one club segment.
So, and the Ducks fans are already starting to pile in here and get their spots early, which if you are going to do it, you should do it early, because I will say when the local teams play, it gets pretty damn full pretty quickly.
Well, it's already getting exciting. I mean, you watch the entire sports book get behind Robert Morris. I bet you before, you know, this morning, most of these people didn't even know Robert Morris
was a nice
mascot.
Roar.
There was, at about the 7 minute to go mark in the second half, I thought the whole sports book was going to team up together to root on Robert Morris, and then Alabama starts hitting a couple three pointers, and that was kind of it. But there is something special about the sports book when it gets behind one of those underdogs like that. Half the people don't even have bets on them. They're rooting against their own bets, but they want to see the little guy get the big dog.
Oh, I mean, it's fun when you see somebody, you know, just blow up bets.
Yes.
It's fun.
And brackets.
It's just fun. It is what it is.
Nothing is better than a good bracket blow up in the right scenario.
I had, when I was cashing out last night, I had a couple guys behind me like, so how'd you do? And I was like, I did pretty good. And they're like, did you parlay? I go, no, I don't parlay anything.
Yeah, same.
And then they go, oh, man, yeah, we had a bunch of, like, you know, 4, 5, 6-leg parlays that all missed by one. And I go, and that's why I don't parlay.
Well,
I go, singles only.
Isn't it what they're saying? It's like parlays make up close to, like, 50% of the bets, but it's where the sportsbook makes the most of their money. Well, because you look at the parlays and you're like, well, that's going to be, you know, the L word. Well, that one's going to be the L word, too. We'll just put them together. And then every time you're like, how did that lose? Well, it's always 50-50. I love the guys who start moving the lines a little bit, too. So they're like, well, the normal line is at -7.5, but I moved it to -4.5. Mm-hmm. That's definitely going to hit now. And then I love watching it just blow up in their face.
He's like, there you go, dummy. It's a good time here, though. Definitely come out and join us down here at Alena Casino and Resort. As a reminder, Coors Light, one of our sponsors here for Fan Madness. Let everybody know the Stadium Sports Bar is Coors Light Buckets. Yeesh. And special Coors Light merch available while supplies last here at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill. You've got your single seats. You've got your tables. You've got your spot up against the bar. We've got your blackjack. You've got your tables all around. You've got. I might have to find my way over to the roulette table. I still never played roulette.
You've never played roulette? No, I would love to play roulette with you.
I've never done it. I'll sit at the card table.
What would your strategy be? Like, if you're going into the roulette, because I know how I play. I stick to the outsides. I think that's the smarter way. I know it's not as big a wins, but I stick on the outsides. I want the, you know, double my money or triple my money. I don't venture too much into putting money on individual numbers. Would you be a spray the board, or where are you going there?
I'd probably just throw it on individual numbers.
Put it all on green.
Yeah. Ooh, just,
there you go.
Five was always my number growing up, so I'd have to go 5 or 51.
I have a buddy, and
51 is when they made me throw on when we had other offensive linemen hurt. And I had to go be fat for a few minutes.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with going and being fat for a few minutes. I was fat this morning. I ate a whole box of cereal. I got done at the gym and was like, I need this.
That was a fun time when in high school when we had a couple offensive linemen got hurt, and they gave me like the quadruple X 51 jersey so I could throw it over everything else that I had on. It was like, yeah, no, you're going to go from playing running back to left guard for us for a little bit, bud. And I'm like, all right.
Like, okay, dude, hey, I was the opposite because I was the fat kid where they were like, we're going to get you in the medium. Have you ever worn a 47 there, Ortner? No, sir. I'd like to try. You'd have to have like four people squeezing it on me. Like all my side fat is popping out my shirt sleeves and underneath my belly. Couldn't even like tuck in the jersey. You just had it rolling up. Then you do the ultimate fat guy move where you get the triple X t-shirt that you put underneath it because you're like, oh, no one will notice that I'm fat because I have this big triple X t-shirt that's out underneath. When in reality, you look at the pictures afterwards and you're like, oh, no, I look like the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
That's where you find the good stuff. And speaking of the good stuff, there's Cooper Flagg already, and that's how we're going to start today's show, the story of the day, the very locked-in number one overall pick, Cooper Flagg, out on the floor for the Duke Blue Devils. What does this do for the tournament, and how much of a shake-up is this going to end up being? We'll get to that first here on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are indeed live in the Stadium Sportsbook and Bar. Just having a grand old time. Mount St. Mary's versus Duke, David versus Goliath, whatever you want to call it. It's currently up on the big screen, and it's not a game that matters in the sense of if anybody's worried about it or not, but all eyes are focused on it because the number one overall pick and Brandon Sprague are both here in the building now, making his presence felt. But Cooper Flagg is not only on the floor, already a driving and one and an assist in his first two times he touches the ball to start the game. And this is it has had some reverberations throughout the tournament already as word started to circulate yesterday that Cooper Flagg was indeed going to play today. The title odds shifted all the way down, and Duke took back over as the favorite.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. They've been probably the second best team all year behind Auburn, but then they have the best player in the country. I get why the odds dropped with him. I mean, I stayed away from Duke. I didn't put any futures on Duke. Why would I? I didn't pick them to win my bracket. Your best player gets hurt. You're, what, probably your second or third best player? He's completely done. In Brown, he's done for the entire tournament.
He's your most important point of attack defender. That's for sure.
100%.
The thing is, they do have...
Oh, they're loaded. Well, I mean, they're loaded.
You have the best. You have quite literally the best defensive player in college. For those that don't truly understand what Cooper Flagg is, like, oh, Morang's going on about this. No, I'm not. He's a generational talent. He's the
100%.
The last time college basketball had a freshman who was the best defensive player in basketball was Anthony Davis, He was the best defensive player in basketball. That immediately translated to the NBA. Cooper Flagg is very much the same. He is the best defensive player in basketball. He's also the best player in college basketball, which is, again, like Anthony Davis. And, yes, losing Brown certainly hurts them, but they can compensate because they had, I believe they finished the season with the largest point margin in the country. They had a point margin of over 20 when the season ended.
Right. Well, they're also, when you're looking at like KenPom rankings, you have the number 3 offense and the number 4 defense in the country.
They're the only team with the top 10 in both. I believe they're the only team in the top 20, if I remember right.
They've played games where they weren't hitting anything, so they had to win on defense. They played games where they were hitting everything, so they won on offense. They can speed you up. They can slow you down. They can play any style.
Yes.
I get why they're the favorite. I think if you're a Duke fan, Duke faithful, if you're the big boss over here, he's already got his Duke Blue Devil gear out ready to go. I think seeing Cooper Flagg come back and play off the injury as well as he has, though, has to give you that big sigh of relief, because we've all seen the, oh, he's going to play, star player gets hurt, and then he comes out and you're like, yeah, that guy looks like garbage right now. It's cool that he came back, and I'm happy for him that he's fighting through his injury. He can't move up and down the court. I mean, the game that I'm thinking of, American, their number one big man, their number one player in whatever league they were in, the Patriot League, I believe. He gets hurt, he rolls his knee, and then he tries to come back, and he can't guard anyone because he can't shuffle side to side. And so then he becomes a liability. They just hunt him on defense, and that's why Mount St. Mary's is not playing Duke and American's not playing Duke. So I think it's not just that he's back and playing, but it's that he's clearly fine. Like, there's no hitch in his giddy-up.
No, he's flying up and down the court right now.
He's not afraid to jump and go get a board. He's not afraid to jump and go get a block. Like, he looks like... If you didn't know he got hurt,
you wouldn't think he got hurt. No, and that's the crazy thing here. And selfishly, I just want to watch him play.
Oh, like, it's so much fun.
It's been very weird how he does everything, in the sense of he can create, he can shoot, he can defend, he can be a secondary guy, he can defer. Like, he just has this incredible game while also having... like viral dunks. Like, he's got big moments, big knockdown threes, getting angry, yelling to the crowd. His mom, you know, put it on his bleeping head, you know, like.
And his mom's awesome.
And yet he isn't like this viral sensation where everyone and their mom is locked in. It's super weird. Like, he's popular, but he's not taking over the country.
I think it's because he's a Duke Blue Devil.
Zion did.
Yeah, but Zion was different in the fact of, every single time it seemed you turned on a game, Zion was having an incredible dunk. And he was, not that he was a bigger deal when he was coming up through, but I remember being in high school and people coming to class and being like, dude, you got to see this and one highlight of Zion Williamson just absolutely slamming on someone in high school. Like, there was more, I think, of a buildup. Because remember, Cooper Flagg's supposed to be a senior this year. He's not supposed to be a college freshman.
He turned 18 December 21st.
Right. He reclassified. And there is a little bit of buzz about him, but I don't feel like, yes, he has the big splashy plays, but it's not as much as what Zion was doing. I also wonder, too, to a degree, if because of how, like, flashy Zion was and a lot of the hype behind Zion and then what he's turned into in the NBA, could that affect Cooper Flagg and some of his popularity? Like, there might be more people, myself included, where you look at Cooper Flagg and you're like, that's awesome, he's ready for the NBA, I don't need to watch until he's in the NBA, or I don't need to watch as closely until he's in the NBA, and then I can see how well he's going to perform against NBA talent.
Well, Duke is already up 15-4 on Mount St. Mary's with, 5 minutes into the game. So we're on a pace for them to be 60-16.
Yeah,
at
I don't.
Halftime.
I don't think that we're going to have a UMCB situation here.
Yeah, no. This
I think Duke's going to be fine.
Yeah. Look, the spread on this game, and I'm not joking, was 30.5.
I got it at 32.5.
Oh, you got it even higher?
Lower.
Oh, did you take Mount St. Mary's?
I was like, come on, Cooper Flagg might not play. He's not going to look that good. Mount St. Mary's hit a bunch of shots. I'm always on the wrong side. I need to stop betting the huge spreads.
Never touch
those. I'm never on the right side. Yeah, but it's more, I want to have bets on every game. What am I, like, supposed to just watch a game normally? No, I need to have some action in it.
Look, take a first half under, first half over. Don't touch those spread lines, man. Those are nasty. There's too much volatility.
Hey, we're inside the number right now, brother. We're going to be okay.
Yeah, well, there's also 14 more minutes to go just in the first half, and they're going to probably keep scoring.
They'll be fine. We got a guy with long sleeves. We're going to be great.
There you go. Who doesn't love a good long sleeve? Let's shout out to the 2003 N1 crossovers with the long sleeves.
That was a Lucas Ortner special. My brother at Hawkinson High School JV basketball games loved rocking himself the long sleeve.
Oh, are we doing tight long sleeves? Or are we going loose
long
sleeves?
Well, see, that's the other thing too. Like, my brother had like some muscularity, but he for the most part was your typical, you know, 15, 16 year old high schooler, where like he's muscular because he's skinny. And my brother thought that his Under Armour tight long sleeves, he thought he looked sweet in those things.
Yeah, I attempted to try to rock the baggy long sleeve under the jersey once.
Oh yeah,
I just
can't do it.
Can't do it. I was trying to Khalid Alamin it, and yeah. it was not, even though Khalid and I had very similar builds.
Yeah,
it was not for me. I even now, as I said here, if you're watching along on YouTube, I don't like stuff around my wrists.
Yeah,
so
I'm the same.
I always, like, I'm wearing a Nike tech fleece right now, and I've got it rolled up to my forearm.
No, for sure. I'm O-lineman true and blue. I feel weird when I wear long sleeves. And I've been wearing more long sleeves because I actually get cold now. Like, apparently when you're not super Mondo fat, like, you get cold.
It happens. Well,
and so,
yes and no.
Well, now that I'm not built, like, I'm ready for the Alaskan winters.
Yes.
I get cold all the time, so I do have the long
sleeves. Nobody's cutting you up with a lightsaber and crawling in to save their lives.
Right, but that's the other thing.
It's like, a sliding scale.
I'm too used to Central Washington where, like, if I wore a long sleeve, I'd get those things cut off. Like, as an O-lineman, you couldn't wear a long sleeve.
No.
If you wore a long sleeve, that was a fight. You were going to get attacked.
Yeah, I mean, not only that, you were going to die.
100%. Yeah, you got to wear the short sleeve. And so now I feel weird if I wear long sleeves. Like, to the point where I still, like, I'm like you. I roll them up when I wear them. Eventually they get so stretched out because they're halfway up my forearm.
They got to go.
Yeah,
it's a problem. As they head out
the
door.
Need to cut them out at, like, the three quarter. I think that's the way to go.
Belichick, he was ahead of time.
Hey, it got him, what's her name? So
she's like,
good
what,
for
22,
him.
23?
24.
24.
Jordan something,
also working as his agent.
And manager?
Yeah. Handling all his emails.
Does she run the show?
I mean, yes. Yes. Which.
So I'll never run the show.
No, definitely not.
No, I won't.
No, definitely not his show. but speaking of running the show, one of the coolest stories in college basketball happened yesterday, as we did have the massive upset of Clemson by McNeese State. What's crazy about it all is their head coach is leaving, and yet.
Yes.
They're all in. We'll get to that and more coming up here, but first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update. The biggest upset of the day yesterday here at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at A&A Resort and Casino. Easily, McNeese State over Clemson, 69-67. It got tight, it got hot, it got heated. It was a messy, messy, messy first half from the ACC Clemson Tigers. 13 points in the first half. They're outscored 31-13 by McNeese State. Furious comeback with a 54-point second half.
Absolutely. As someone who had the over, I've already told the story. I had to pull into the Y-Mart. I had to pull over and make sure that I watched the end of that game. How do you get 13? As a Power 4 conference, for a team that, at one point, we just talked about how good Duke is. Think about that. We talked about how Duke is the number one team with the number one player. They're rolling. They can beat you in any way possible. The one team that beat them in the ACC was this Clemson Tigers team.
Mm-hmm.
13 freaking points. And it's not like McNeese is known for their defense. They're a good defensive team, but they're not like a lockdown. This isn't St. Mary's who you're playing. How does that happen?
Well, it happens because McNeese State has, at least for another game, a fantastic head coach in Will Wade. For those that don't know, Will Wade has accepted the job to take over as the new head coach at North Carolina State. So he will be stepping into that conference here soon. Mm-hmm. And it is an incredibly interesting story. Instead of, well, you know, we'll address that in the offseason. We're focusing on the game in front of us. He was honest with his team. He was honest with his players. He was honest with his current athletic director. He was honest with NC State's athletic director. And honesty has been the best path for Will Wade. Will Wade is a hell of a basketball coach.
Yep.
When West Virginia lost DeVries to Indiana, everybody's like, they better call Will Wade quick because somebody's going
to
grab him.
I thought he was going to go to Villanova. Like, because think about it. The reason that he's at McNeese, for those of you who forget, he was at LSU. Mm-hmm. He won the SEC regular season title at LSU. The reason they had to fire him was because he was paying players. Guess what's legal now?
He's
paying players. So he never did anything that would get him fired nowadays. And the other thing about Will Wade that I actually kind of find what he's doing refreshing is he's just being honest. Like, we get upset all the time about coaches and about players not being honest. And Will Wade's like, hey, I'm using you as a stepping stone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hire me? Because we will have success in the 2 or 3 years that I'm here, and then I'm going to go somewhere else.
And you can build momentum off that and hire somebody else and do it again, or you can find somebody to be here longer. But do you want some more money because I'm going to take to the NCAA tournament?
Right. It's beautiful. Well, and then the players, he looks at his players and he goes, hey, guys, if you play well for me, I'm going to go to a better school. You are all, if you do well here, going to transfer somewhere else because that's what you should do. And if you play well for me, I will take you with me. I actually love this. He's being honest. It's refreshing where most people would try and sit back and hide and do the whole, well, I haven't talked to anybody, and right now I'm just focused on the next game and the next team. Just be honest. We complain about coaches not doing it all the time, and it's finally so refreshing that you have a coach that is doing it. It also shows why he gets such highly recruited players. Because he's honest with them, and he knows what the deal is. It isn't that whole, like, oh, we're a family, we're going to be together forever. It's, this is a business. So I'm going to help take you to that next level. I'm going to help get you more NIL money. I'm going to help you get into a better program. If you get to play professionally, whether it's overseas or in the States, I'm going to get you to a better spot so you can make more money. I find that incredibly refreshing, and that's why Will Wade is having success and will continue to have success.
I mean, Will Wade, everything he has said is basically some version of, we're just being honest with each other. Our players are being honest with us. I'm being honest with them. North Carolina State is being honest with you know, how this process is going to go. If we lose, I'm going to be there in a matter of days. And the quote from Will Wade here is incredible. There are five coaches right now negotiating with those schools. I mean, come on. It's true. Villanova is trying to hire a coach out of the NCAA tournament right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, maybe don't blow up somebody else's spot. Chill for a little bit.
Right.
That's not for you to do. Mm-hmm. But he's also not wrong. Because, again, as you mentioned, Villanova was a school that people were looking at as looking at Will Wade.
Yes. Yeah. And Villanova needs a good coach. I think Villanova, in the shocking upset, is, I'm surprised they didn't get Will Wade. That seems like the perfect spot for him to go. And it seems like the perfect place that would throw a lot of money at him. Right? It's interesting, too. Like, you look at this NC State team. They wanted to fire their coach last year, and they couldn't because he took them to the freaking Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they don't go on one of the more improbable runs, not just in the tournament, but to even get in the tournament because they weren't a tournament team, that coach would have been fired last year. Will Wade might have been the coach last year because he had a McNeese team that he led to the tournament last year. So I just think you're going to see a lot more coaches take his style when it comes to what you are planning to do at those mid-majors. Unless you're a Mark Few or the guy who's at St. Mary's, his name escapes me right now, where you're saying, hey, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to create a power that wins and I'm comfortable here and I don't want to leave.
Well, sure. I mean, and what's interesting about this from the player side of things is if you're a player at McNeese State right now, do you look at what happened with Drake? You know, when a coach leaves Division II Northwest Missouri State, the most successful basketball program in Division II, to go to Drake, which isn't some basketball powerhouse, but he basically brought everybody with him.
Yes, took them all, and now they're having success. They won Drake's first tournament, and if you're at Drake's in all the time.
And if you're at McNeese State and you've got a relationship with Will Wade, I'm not saying he's going to bring everyone, mm-hmm. but hey, if you're a dude,
Right.
Why not be like, yeah, no, I'm going to ride with my coach?
Well, and if he doesn't bring you, with all the success that you've had in the tournament and with his backing, because he might not bring you with him, but he's still going to back you if you're a good player.
He'll bounce you to go, yeah.
You're going to end up at a better spot than McNeese. Like, no offense to McNeese. McNeese is only a 12 seed or whatever they were, was because of Will Wade. They're only good because of the people that Will Wade brought in. They wouldn't be that highly thought of. When you went to bet that conference tournament, you couldn't bet on McNeese. The next best team in that conference, Lamar, was plus 900 to win the conference tournament. So let's not act like McNeese comes from this powerhouse of a conference. So everything that he has done has put that school higher up on the map. So it was a good hire for the school. It was a good hire for by Will Wade. It was a good spot to accept a job because he was able to build up a power and put himself back in a position where he can go take a D1 legitimate job, a Power 4 job. And for the players, they're either going to go with him or they're going to go to a spot that might not be quite as good, but they're going to get some more money or they're going to be a bigger focal point or they're going to get some more prestige. Like, it's a win all the way around. And I think you're going to see more and more coaches in football and in college basketball especially take this kind of approach.
It just makes sense. And let's do a quick little scoreboard wrap-up here. Colorado State, the 12 seed and favored coming into this afternoon's game against the Memphis Tigers, currently at 56-50, 11:34 to go in the second half of that game. Duke is up 20-38-18 over Mount St. Mary, 6:30 to go here in the first half as they get to a commercial break. And Vandy and St. Mary's have gotten underway, 10th seeded Vanderbilt against the 7 seed St. Mary's. It is 7-7 with 15:40 to go in the first half. All right, we're going to pivot out of college basketball and the NBA here for just a moment as we do have our one touchstone NFL news. Aaron Rodgers has landed his meeting with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Are we going to get anything out of this? We'll get to that and more, but coming up here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. On this episode of How Aaron Rodgers Turns, he has finally, well, at least done something. He's meeting with the Pittsburgh Steelers, as we talked about. God, was that the beginning of this week or was it last week about Cam Hayward and DK Metcalf basically saying, bruh, come on, do or don't, let us move on. And reports coming out from multiple folks that the no deal is currently imminent, which, boy, does that sound about accurate.
But this is the ultimate Aaron Rodgers story of all time. Like, what was it, the old Brett Favre news, no news, or no news, news, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, Brett Favre was spotted in the Minneapolis area. Could he be a Viking? It's what Aaron Rodgers is doing. He's looking at the Brett Favre playbook, and how can I stay relevant? How can I keep getting talked about? How can I keep having people with my name in their mouth? I will talk about politics and talk about possibly being a vice president. I will talk about what team that I could sign and play with. I will come up with things to complain about that's going on in the world. Aaron Rodgers is such a big eye roll for me. Like, this guy can't stay out of the limelight. And then every time he's in it, he just complains and complains and complains about continuing to be in the limelight.
It's going to be interesting to see how this works because his two landing spots, well, I guess technically three if you add Tennessee in there. They're not good teams.
No.
With the Giants and the Titans. So if you do you want to play for a good team, then you play for the Steelers. If you don't want to play for a good team, go play for the Giants or the Titans.
But even with the Steelers, like, you're a good team, you probably make the playoffs. What else do you do? Do you win a playoff game? Does Aaron Rodgers at 42 years old get the Steelers one playoff victory? Because I don't know that I think so.
No. Well, you don't think the addition of DK Metcalf is enough?
Well, that's no, because I was going to say, because his running mate, George Pickens, will get suspended for trying to start a fight because the ball got thrown to DK instead of him.
Yeah, I still don't understand DK asking for a trade and being like, yeah, no, I'm going to sign a contract with Pittsburgh, other than they paid him the money.
I think there's a little bit of that. I also think he thought they would be more in on Russ. Because when DK had his best years, it was with Russ. Players don't always think clearly. Like, let's be honest about that. Players don't always think clearly about what the situation holds. How many times have you listened to an NBA player podcast or an NFL player podcast where they're talking about other players in the league and you're like, that guy's not that good.
No,
like, I don't remember that. Like, obviously he's good enough to be in the league, but that guy's not a star, and you're talking about him as a star.
if I'm DK Metcalf, my best years were when I was playing with Russell Wilson. I get a chance to go be with Russell Wilson again. The offensive line in Pittsburgh, I do like. They're young, so they're getting better. The running back situation, it's not ideal, but they can run the football. You're going to be asking that defense to have TJ Watt stay healthy, and if he does, they'll be a good defense. It's not the worst situation in the world, but it's also not a Super Bowl champion. It's a lateral move. It's you're not taking a step up. You're not getting better. You can trick yourself into saying, hey, I'm getting better. They made the playoffs. Seahawks had 10 wins. It's a lateral move. It's the same thing.
It's very interesting that when you're just talking about the DK of it all.
Right.
Looking at it and going, you know, I was successful with Russell Wilson. And look, Russ was fine there with him. Mm-hmm. But it almost feels like Stockholm Syndrome of like, you know, man, I was so good with him. I'm like, yeah, dude, the bars, I mean, it's not the floor, but it's not, we're not talking about the upper echelon of quarterback play here. It's like, set the bar higher, bud. Set the bar higher. You know what I mean? You just kind of look at that and just kind of go, look, I mean, is Aaron as good as he was when he was 34 or 35? No. God, no. But is he better right now than Russ? Yeah. By a lot.
Is he really? Because I think they're one in the same. Like, Rodgers can't move around as well. Russell can't move around as well as he used to. Neither one really has the same deep ball. Rodgers is probably a little more accurate because he can throw over the middle. Like, that's going to be the biggest issue in Russ's game.
Yeah, Russ can't get outside the pocket and see over the offensive line anymore.
But again, so
Aaron doesn't have to do that.
So you win one more game?
I think he's worth probably two.
You win. Oh, okay, so you win two games and you get in as a wild card again.
I mean, you're not. But that's the Steelers. That's the Steelers. That is what they want. That is what where they live. That is where that family lives.
Yeah.
That is how they want to operate.
They want to be. They want to be in the mix, but they aren't willing to take that next step forward. And I get it. It's been a successful formula that they've had for years and years and years. But still, just from where I'm sitting, it's a lot of overvaluing people that are 3, 4, 5 years past their prime by people who are in their prime right now. And by that, I mean DK Metcalf or by like a George Pickens or by the Steelers organization in general. Russell Wilson doesn't get you that much better. Aaron Rodgers is 42. No one has gotten better at 42.
He's 41 right now.
He will be 42 by the season.
Well, December.
And he's still, what? He's 2 years off of torn Achilles?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not going to get more mobile.
Those get better as you get older, right?
I don't think so. Like, I know I'm not old, and I know there's a lot of things that I still have to learn about in life, but I've noticed that everything that hurt me when I was 16, 17 hurts a little bit more at 27, 28.
It gets better. Just trust me. It gets so much better as you get older.
It's going to just continue to get better and better.
Yes, so, 100%. So when, like fine wine.
So when I am in my 30s, I will be able to dunk again?
Yes.
For the first time?
Yes. 100%.
Second time.
Those ligaments, much like Cooper Flags, they get spongier and softer, and they definitely don't get stiffer, and they definitely don't hurt a lot more than they should.
I just don't get it, man. Like, I guess if... there's no logical reason to sign Rodgers unless you are saying Aaron Rodgers is guaranteeing me he is going to turn back into 37-year-old Aaron Rodgers when he was winning MVPs. And he's not going to do that because he's not going to buy all in. I understand that this is what the Steelers' MO is, but you have to expect that Cincinnati is going to take a step forward. That defense cannot be as bad as they were. That offense by themselves almost got them into the playoffs, and they had the worst defense in the NFL. They were horrific, couldn't get a stop. So you have to assume that Cincinnati team's going to take a step forward, and then you are banking on winning a bunch of 3, 4, 5-point games because Mike Tomlin is smarter than everyone, and your defense, which is getting older, by the way, is going to continue to stay at their peak. It doesn't make sense to me. If I'm the Steelers, they honestly probably should have went with Fields. They should have just went with the young guy.
I disagree on that one because the best version of Fields is still not as good as Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers right now?
Yes.
I don't know, man.
Justin Fields is not a quarterback.
Use him as a running back then.
Go Wing T. Let's go.
That's part of the problem, man. Like, I know I'm one of the biggest Fields haters out there.
Right.
There's not a world where I'm like, Justin Fields is my quarterback. I'm feeling good about that. That's the kind of thing where there's not a bridge tall enough in the city for me to jump off.
So the bridge is like 10 feet lower with Aaron Rodgers that you're jumping off of?
I'm not jumping off the bridge with Rodgers.
I think I am, man. It's done. We've done the experiment. We watched it in New York. He was bad.
I don't disagree, but like his level of bad is still above competency, where Justin Fields and the likes of him and Russell Wilson aren't.
You're going to deal with a circus? That's not the Pittsburgh Steelers' MO.
The look that I'm giving Will Ortner right now does not translate well over the radio.
They're not a circus.
Are you
kidding
me?
Until they leave. They're not a circus until they leave.
That's the point, because they manage it. Mike Tomlin is the circus manager. He is Mr. Barnum and Bailey. Are you kidding me?
You think that after the top has already been taken
off
the
list. Antonio Brown?
They were young players.
They were still bat-ass crazy.
I know. I follow Antonio Brown on Twitter. I'm very aware of his craziness.
It's not actually him, though.
I know it's a different guy, which kind of stinks.
Yeah, no, it's a weird thing.
It is what it is.
Yeah,
still a funny follow. That being said, you're not putting the cap on Rodgers' craziness. He's an insane person.
Oh no, you're not wrong. But I think Tomlin is the master of managing that. That is his superpower.
That's what you're banking on if you're going to go with him.
So, again, no deal imminent as it pertains to Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. That'll probably be it for the NFL today. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Tyler Rucker of No Ceilings. We will dive into the prospects currently in the NCAA tournament, and we'll take a look at some lottery prospects in here between 7 and 12. The guys at No Ceilings do awesome, awesome work. They'll be out here during Hoop Summit. We'll probably have them revisit with us then, and we'll dive into that next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.